Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm really happy today to be interviewing Selma James. We just met because I heard her on KPFA and ran down there and caught her because she lives in England and is just passing through town here. Selma James has written several books, most recently The Milk of Human Kindness, Defending Breastfeeding from the Global Market and the AIDS Industry, and that's put out by AK Press, or you can find it through AK Press in the United States anyway.
And online.
Okay. Well, let me just welcome you sure.
Thank you very much.
And I'll go on. You have another book that you co-authored, The Power of Women and the Subversion of the Community. So I'm really thrilled to meet you and to be able to talk to you about the great work that you're doing now, which is with Global Women's Strike, which has to do with stopping the military budget or lessening it, or you'll tell us here just to let the audience know what we're going to be talking about, and to put that money into caring work, which seems to me certainly the bottom line of what has to happen. And I always wonder why more people don't understand that connection. I know in the United States it's 50% of the budget, I think, that goes, of our tax money, that goes into killing people that could be used for caring for people. So tell us about that campaign, how you got going with it and how it's going.
I'm very glad to be here. I love San Francisco. It's always, the Bay Area is always leading the nation, at least the nation. I think not only is the military budget in this country 50% of the budget, but it's more than half of military spending worldwide. A tenth of that military budget worldwide would be enough to take people out of poverty. It is such an extraordinary amount of money that basic poverty could be eliminated with one-tenth of the money that's spent on the military. In 2000, we held the first global women's strike. A number of us got together from a number of countries and had events on the 8th of March. Now, that was grassroots women who not only had their own local demands, but also had the global demand that the military budget must go to carers and to caring work. And our slogan from then was, invest in caring, not killing, and that women must stop the world and change it. Now, many groups came out the first 8th of March in the new millennium. We said a new set of political and economic priorities. But since then, the global strike has grown, and we now have bases in Africa, bases in India. The Philippines has a wonderful group in a number of countries in South America, including in revolutionary Venezuela. There are now two groups that are organizing for the strike, and in Europe, as well as in North America. Obviously, in the U.S., there's a great strike anti-war group in San Francisco. And women not only have an event on the 8th of March, but all throughout the year, we are putting into implementation the demand of invest in caring, not killing. For example, in London, England, we had demonstrations in front of local councils saying, why is money to people with disabilities being cut when money for war is being increased? And this can be many people, the pensioners, must demand the military budget. Why, when we have worked all our lives, both without wages and with wages as women, must we now live on pennies when, in fact, there's a lot of money that can pay for us to have an easy life? So it's all over the world. It's for piped water, clean, accessible water, so women don't have to spend half of every day going to get water for their families. It's for solar cookers, terribly important. It's for us to have the medical care that we want, to have education that we want. Everybody points to the fact that most of the people in the world who are illiterate, aside from children, young children, are women. But nobody says, why not put the money into literacy rather than into depleted uranium bombs? So that it's another way of looking at things. It's another political perspective, as I say, and women have been brought in, and men have. Payday, a network of men in a number of countries, is supportive of the strike, and they have a fantastic website called Refusing to Kill, which shows all the ways in which men and women in the military have been refusing to go to war, refusing to be killers, refusing to be the violent master in the home, which to me there's a direct connection, and to them as well. When you train men to be soldiers, you're training them to be brutes. Is that what we want with the men in our lives, our sons, our fathers, our, you know, our brothers? So it's really a movement of putting people together, beginning with women. If you start with women, you get the whole community. If you start with men, you end with men.
Mm. That's interesting. That cuts across a racial issue, too, in a way. I mean, I think it does. It does.
It's crucially anti-racist, not only anti-sexist, but anti-racist. Overwhelmingly, the women in the world are women of color, and there is, in the strike network, there is a women of color network, and indigenous women are very important to that network, as are black women in the United States and other women of color in many parts of the world.
When did this organization start?
The global women's strike began in the year 2000, but the Wages for Housework campaign internationally, which has been going since 1972, is what coordinates the strike and what put forward the strike. And we have always had the view that women, not the military, should be paid. That's what we've always said, pay women, not the military. And sometimes feminists have been very hostile to us, because they say, well, women have to be liberated, and they assumed that liberation was going out of the home and working there. Now, I worked in factories in this country, in fact, in Los Angeles, and that's not a liberation, that's just a second job, because you go home and you're doing the same work you always did, only you're doing it more in more of a hurry and on top of 8 hours of hard work outside the home. So we don't want to be stuck at home. And if we have money of our own for work that we're already doing, we will have the money to get out of the home, but not for a second job. The work that we've done with breastfeeding has been an example of that. You know, women have babies. Sometimes they have babies late because they want to have a little money before, a little independence, financial independence, before they plunge into motherhood, and then they're expected to go back to work within 6 weeks, 8 weeks. They need the money, they have to go out, and then the babies don't get the breast milk, which is the basic survival food of humanity. But because it's women who are doing it, and because it's biological as well as caring work that women do, it's discounted. If it's not manufactured, it's not important.
You know, plus it doesn't make any money for somebody else.
That's right. It's free. You don't have to buy it. And so it's a no-no, and the corporations want they don't care if our babies die. They don't care if we develop all kinds of illnesses. They don't care if we're in and out of doctor's offices, and what do the doctors give us but poison most of the time. What they care about is making that profit. And we're saying it's not profit that we're after. We're after human relationships and caring for each other. And just because women are the carers and we want women to be the carers doesn't mean that we want men to continue to be uncaring and to be trained not to be caring, to leave that, you know, unimportant stuff to women. We want everybody to participate in the caring of each other. And we have noticed that the technology that makes war is enough to eliminate most of the work that we do. So let's have less work and more caring.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great idea. In fact, you said, well, you know, nobody talks about that when you make women literate, that changes things. But there are I mean, I hear about little UN programs and little programs, but they're really little programs. That's what they are. And it, we do have a lot of information about the kind of, I mean, people in universities, I always say it's people say, well, what to do, you know? I mean, it's not that there's not information. It's the political will and making the connections. And so it's wonderful that you're organizing, Selma James. And I'd like to hear something about the how that's going, and I know you've just been to Venezuela, so I'd like to hear about that too.
Well, in fact, you're absolutely right. The information is not only out there in universities, but it's out there everywhere. People know that it's women who are illiterate, but they're afraid to make the great leap forward, which is take the money from the military and put it into where it cares for people, beginning with literacy, health, etc.
And that would take a revolution. That would take a major social change. But it's one that's just got to happen, or we're just going to keep going this direction, which is basically to the killing of the planet and all the beings on it.
And that is exactly the point. We're fighting for our survival. We're not only fighting for a little literacy. We're fighting for a little world. We have an anti-war picket in Parliament Square in London, England, and there is a picket of Bechtel right here in San Francisco and in other places in the network of the strike. There have been anti-war pickets, but the one in Parliament Square is perhaps the most interesting. The Global Women's Strike community picket has an open mic twice a week. We are there for an hour and a half both evenings, and anybody can come and speak on it, including MPs, but you don't hear many of those. Mm-hmm. We have been bothered by the police, told we're making too much noise, told that we're bothering the MPs because they hear us. Well, that's why we're there. We're there for them to hear us and for them to be bothered by what we are saying. We are against the war. We are against Blair's fixation on Bush. We're against the trio, Bush, Sharon, and Blair. And we are the population coming to speak on the mic who don't feel that that House of Parliament, which we elected, unlike in the U.S., we did elect Prime Minister Blair, that represents us. So we come to Parliament Square to represent ourselves.
Well, you're lucky that they can hear you. And in this country, you'd be kept so far away, couldn't even hear you. I'd like to tell the audience that you, Selma James, are from the United States. You grew up in Brooklyn, you said.
Yes.
And you were married to C.L.R. James, who was a major intellectual and otherwise political leader, and lived in Trinidad, and now you live in England, and maybe you've lived some other places. But so you're a very international person and have had your own direct experience with these different places.
Well, first of all, I'm the daughter of a woman who was born in the United States and a man who was born in Poland. My father was an immigrant, and it was his generation, many of them immigrants, who formed the unions in the United States, who fought the mafia when the mafia took over the Teamsters Union. My father was put in prison, was beaten up, and all the rest, trying to save the union, which he had given, and my mother had given their life's blood to, from the control of the union by the mafia in league with the bosses. So that was my training. I had an international training in the sense that I had a, quote, foreign father, and we were trained to think of the world as what we were citizens of. And you know what, then when I grew up, I heard about Virginia Woolf saying, as a woman, I have no country. As a woman, my country is the whole world. And then I realized that they had left out the middle line, which is, as a woman, I want no country. And as a woman, and as a member of the grassroots, I want no country. I want the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds right. I mean, right to me, in terms of that we really have to identify as planetary beings and take some power here.
Well, unless we do that, we are profoundly racist, because most of the world are people of color who are struggling to survive, as we are, sometimes much harder than we have to struggle in order to survive. And we must identify with every human being, because that's the only way we're going to save ourselves from what this man Bush is ready to do to us.
Really? Well, you were saying, Selma James, that The response to your organizing is very different this year than it was even a year ago. If you would talk some about that.
Yes, certainly people are as anti-war now as they were. I'm talking about the UK now, but I think it's true in the US too, from what little I've seen. But what has changed from last year to this is last year, people thought it was a good idea for the military budget to go for caring, but they didn't think it was practical. Now, people are bewildered by the fact that they don't know who to vote for, and they don't know who in the establishment, if anybody is on their side, and what are they going to do about that? Well, what are we going to do about that? That's a very serious question that all of us are facing. But one thing has changed, and people say, well, yes, there is no point, increasingly, no point for this money to go into military budgets, no point for depleted uranium to be sent to another country to kill other people's children. We really should have that military budget. And veterans are saying, what about for us and medical care for us? And mothers are saying, welfare mothers are saying, what about welfare for us? And homeless people are saying, what about housing for us? And people in very low paid work, and there's a lot of people in very low paid work in this country. My son was saying that almost 30% of people in this country work for less than $8 an hour. The figure is something like that. I don't have it exactly right. But that's an outrageous scandal. Mm-hmm. The money should be, you know, there for wages. And each of these sectors is saying, what about money for me? And are beginning to say together, what about money for us? Why must we do without in order to bomb other people? That's what we have to face.
Yeah, yeah, really. Well, and I'm sure everybody knows that everything is getting cut in this country. Anything to help people. I mean, they're just closing hospitals and lowering. Well, just everything is. So for people to make that connection, though, is just so important about the military budget and the killing or caring.
Yes, and I think that women organizing independently can help that those connections to be made, because when we organize independently, we begin to attract men to what we are saying, because we are putting forward the perspective that men really need the investment in caring, not killing. And what we have seen is that women can bring communities together. This is what's happening in Venezuela, which is so exciting. There was a coup in Venezuela organized by the white racist elite, backed, of course, by the United States. And they kidnapped the president, who was duly elected, unlike Bush. And then the people came out on the streets, led by the women in the communities, and demanded, 2 million people came out in Caracas and demanded the return of their president and the return of their pro-woman constitution. And they got the president back. So, when, and their constitution, so when it was the first anniversary, they invited some of us to come from the Global Women's Strike to Caracas and to celebrate with them. And there was a woman from the strike in Argentina, one from Peru, two from the United States, and two from London, England, who descended on Caracas. And we saw how the women are really making the changes, how they're building co-ops and getting backed by the Women's Development Bank when they build co-ops, when they build houses, when they redo the education system so that their children get a proper education, even when they had to teach the children themselves because the teachers are too tied up with the old regime. And they have a different look from us. They do, in fact, look different. It's not a racial difference. It's a difference of expecting to win. It's a difference of having hope in their faces. It's a difference of being self-confident in a way that I had never seen before. I was absolutely bowled over by the faces of women in grassroots women in Venezuela. I want to look like that. Mm-hmm. I heard Chavez speak, and if you go to hear Chavez speak, you have to be prepared for 3, 4, and 5 hour speeches. I had a little nap in the middle, but I was absolutely bowled over by him. First of all, he's accessible to the grassroots. He goes over the head of his government. Second of all, he's very international in his outlook. He says things like, what is happening in other countries pains us in Venezuela as much as what is happening in Venezuela. He speaks about Africa and wanting to make a connection there. He says some things like, I went to a conference, a summit of presidents and heads of state, and I told them, we presidents go from summit to summit, but our people go from abyss to abyss. Now, when's the last time you heard a head of state say things like that? He's very clear that it was women who saved the revolution. He says so. It's not so much an admission as a statement of fact, which he is concerned that people acknowledge. He knows what women are doing for the revolution, and he's determined that women have more power to drive the revolution forward, and he's backing them. But he tells them, don't come to me with problems. Come to me with solutions. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very different, I think the word is model, mm-hmm, of revolution than one we know about, very decentralized, but with central control, determined to keep the oil nationalized so that they take the money that has been stolen by the white elite and the United States corporations and begin to end the poverty of the 80% of Venezuelan people who live in poverty, but they're not nationalizing anything else. They're keeping water nationalized and oil nationalized, trying to get people in the countryside to begin to plant food so that they are food self-sufficient. And by the way, it's very important to note that it's not only oil that this government wants to be in control of. They want to be in control of water, and they want to be in control of food. And GM, genetically engineered or modified food, has to do with having the power to starve whole populations. That's what they want to be able to do, kill people en masse, not only outside of the United States, but within the United States. They want to be able to kill people en masse without even throwing bombs, just preventing the seeds from being able to produce the food for certain sectors of people. So we have to be on our toes. We are fighting for our lives, and if we don't get together, you know what Benjamin Franklin said? If we don't hang together, we'll all hang separately. It's never been so true.
Your book, Milk of Human Kindness, Defending Breastfeeding from the Global Market and the AIDS Industry. Say a little bit about that, please.
Yes, I'm really happy to, because there is a movement for breastfeeding to protect the best food for babies and not to give them formula. And there was a great boycott against Nestle, and they were called, rightfully, the baby killers. But that has fallen off in the recent past, and globalization has put Nestle and other corporations, pharmaceuticals and formula companies, into positions of power. At the same time, an anti-globalization movement has formed. Seattle was announcing its birth, and it's grown from strength to strength since then. But those two movements have never got together. The pro-breastfeeding movement and the anti-globalization movement. And the Milk of Human Kindness begins by saying this caring and biological work that women do must be respected and must be seen as the life-saving work that it is. And this anti-globalization movement must acknowledge that breastfeeding is vital and must counter the attack against it wherever it rears its ugly head. And it does in Africa very widely. I was in Africa at a breastfeeding conference and heard how many of the NGOs have sold out for lovely conferences and lovely jobs in order to back the formula industry. And we call it the formula for genocide. And that's what it means in countries where the water isn't even clean. You know, what they're doing in Iraq right now is to import not food, but formula. Not food for breastfeeding mothers, but formula for babies. And there is no clean water to mix it with. So what is their intention? Don't tell me about whether they plan or don't plan. That is a plan. the head of Eli Lilly Pharmaceuticals has been put in charge of the whole AIDS expenditure and planning of the American government. You put, you know, the fox in charge of the chicken run. So it's just not on. And breastfeeding is a crucial part of our right to the best as human beings, as young human beings. We begin to be human beings at the very beginning, and we need the nourishment we must have in order to grow and develop. And the anti-globalization movement must address this issue and must prioritize the work that women are doing for new life.
And of course, those women, the mothers, need food so they can make milk.
That's right. Food security is the crucial question. 4%, this is their figures, okay? 4% of infants die from AIDS or HIV, but 60% of the infants who die from lack of food, which is the issue we should be addressing.
Interesting. Hey, Selma James, we just have time for us to get your contacts, because I'm sure people will want to know about global women's strike.
Now, the website is http://womenstrike8mserver101.com. And I'll repeat that, womenstrike8mserver101.com. The local strike organization is area code 415-626-4114. You can get information on the website about the Milk of Human Kindness, which is also, you can also order it online.
Mm-hmm. womenstrike8mserver101.com. And the local San Francisco number is 415-626-4114. Well, may lots of people connect with this movement. I'm certainly going to check it out, the Global Women's Strike, to put the military budget into caring work. And
right.
God knows we need that. So I'm really, really happy that we could do this interview. Thank you so much, Selma James.
Can I just say how important the movement against war is here in the United States to all of us outside who are told that Bush has your support? Let us know loud and clear that he doesn't. We need to hear this.
My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening. To order a copy of the program you just heard, write down the following information. The email is sue@suesupriano.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, at Sue Supriano, SUESUPRIANO.com. Or the telephone is 510-883-1979. That's 510-883-1979.